And welcome into the Friday edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. One programming note, sort of. If you're hearing this before Friday night at 7, you can hear me tonight nationally on Sports Map Radio. There are some affiliates in Wisconsin. I know one of them is The Game in Appleton, but you can listen for free also online at sportsmapradio.com or on the Sports Map Radio app. Again, that's 7 until 9 Central time tonight. Here on the podcast, of course, we're easy to find. Our website is www.dougrussellpod.com. That is www.dougrussellpod.com. Otherwise, our social medias at Doug Russell Pod on Instagram and Twitter. You can search for the Doug Russell Podcast on Facebook and YouTube or email the show at DougRussellPod@gmail.com. We've got lots of football to come, but we begin with basketball. No Supermax has been signed by Giannis yet, but we're on the case 24/7 just in case something breaks. So we're on it. So as the team meets with the media, virtually, of course, you know that Coach Mike Budenholzer had to be asked about it. You also knew that he wasn't going to give us that much to go on.
You know, he's incredibly supportive of us and everything we're trying to do to make this team the best it can be. And, you know, the same for us to support him, you know, and like you said, it's a big decision. And, you know, I think the communication between he and I has been really good, really productive, fruitful. You know, so we feel really good about the communication with Giannis throughout the summer or off season.
So that's about what you would expect from the head coach. As for Giannis's longest tenured teammate, Chris Middleton.
You know, I have a lot of respect for Giannis. You know, my situation last year, he told me how he felt, and that's all I could do in return. You know, as you know, I think we're more than friends at this point. We spent, I think, 8 years together. We've been through a lot together also. So at the end of the day, I know and I want him to do what's best for him and his family. He knows that I deeply wanted to return to sign this extension, but at the same time, I know he's got a big decision that, you know, he's got to work through himself and with his family at home. But those are the most important people. You know, I talk to him, I give him my two cents or my opinion or try to convince him, but at the end today. I'm going to always love him and appreciate, you know, whatever he wants to do. I have confidence in, you know, what we've done in the past and what we could do forward. So as long as I'm confident in that and show now I'm confident in what we can do and what we can accomplish and, you know, keep grinding together, I'm not going to worry about too much. Like I said, I know he has a big decision on his hands. And at the end of the day, sometimes you just got to let him be him. I mean, I can't control his life. I can't tell him what to do, just like he did it with me. So just leave it at that.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Middleton did add, though, that last season's end wasn't acceptable to anyone.
Fell way short of our goal when we knew we worked for it and we just didn't make it happen. So I think there was a lot of motivation in this offseason to come back and be better, to have those high expectations that we set for ourselves, those high goals. But now, you know, we just got to put it all out there on the court and make it happen. You sit back and you reflect and you think about the missed opportunity that we had in the bubble in the season before. And then, you know, it is a little bit angry. You're always a little angry, upset when you lose, but you use all that and you feel it and just use it as motivation for the upcoming season.
To try to help turn it around in the postseason, the biggest new face on the Bucks roster, new point guard Drew Holiday. Here's the coach.
Drew has established himself as one of the best, if not the best, you know, defensive guards in our league. He takes the toughest matchups every night. He can guard guys with more size or his range of ability to guard different types of players. About as unique as I've seen, you know, now I guess I've been in the league a little while. So I think what he brings on the defensive end of the court is really exciting for us to think about. I think his skill set, you know, his ability to play off the dribble, his ability to catch and shoot, make shots, you know, play some one-on-one, make tough shots, create separation and take and make tough shots, you know, make his teammates better. I think, you know, one of the things unique about our team is, you know, being able to play off the ball. And I think Drew has, you know, shown, you know, his ability to play with it, but also off of it. You put all that together with a great human being, what he brings off the court, what he and his wife have done, you know, recently. And for a long time, it's just special to add him to our team. Just the kind of guy he is and what he brings. We just feel like, you know, he's a perfect fit for us and is going to make us better.
Another new face for Coach Budenholzer is big man Bobby Portis.
We feel incredibly fortunate to have Bobby sign with us and be part of our group. You know, we felt like we got an incredible player and a guy that would start on a lot of teams. And, you know, I think Bobby's skill set, considering how we play, you know, I think he is kind of the prototypical or, you know, a 5-4 that's going to fit us really well.
So as we await word about Giannis's Supermax extension, all the coach and his players can do is get back to work. Now, as we've heard from the likes of, say, Brian Geltzeiler earlier this week here on the Doug Russell podcast. It seems as though the tea leaves appear to have Giannis signing the Supermax extension. And I also think that other teams around the NBA are taking notice of that as well. If you look at what the Lakers are doing, and there was this thought, and it's been pushed by some in the national media, that Giannis needs to team up with LeBron and Anthony Davis in Los Angeles with the Lakers, and they would be the best team that perhaps we've ever seen in the NBA. I don't know that that's good for the competitive balance and overall health of the league, but you look at the way that the Lakers have taken Anthony Davis and they've given him a couple of different contracts now, so he's going to get the quote-unquote supermax for him. LeBron signing a two-year, $85 million contract, which when you think about it is nuts, but then again, we're talking about LeBron James. When you think about Giannis and his, what, five-year extension that would be in the neighborhood of $250 million, that's a quarter of $1 billion almost. So, you know, it's not that there are haves and have-nots in the NBA. There are only haves, and it becomes whether or not you're going to show that particular player the respect that he feels like he deserves. I've said it, and I think others have said it a million times. It doesn't necessarily matter if you sign for $200 million, $300 million, in baseball's case with Mike Trout, over $400 million. It's not necessarily about that number. Yes, it's a lot of money. It's generational wealth. It's life-changing for your grandchildren if you can sign a contract that's that large, as long as you hang on to your money. And, you know, the Bucks owners have done a really good job educating their players on what to look for, who to stay away from, and things like that. That hasn't always been the case in the NBA. But moreover than about just what that dollar sign represents in terms of that player's bank account for himself, and again, his children's children, and perhaps his children's children, it means respect. It means how much do you value me? Not in terms of dollars and cents, but if you can give me as much as you can give me right now, okay, that shows that I've got your respect. And the Bucks, in years past, they have tried to nickel and dime certain players. That's how, in part, how Ray Allen was shipped out back in 2002. I mean, it was unconscionable what the Bucks did to try to save, I think it was about $20 million at the time. And if you prorate that out to today's dollars and cents, yeah, I mean, it's a lot different in 2020 than it is 18 years ago. But still, that was the mentality of so many teams in the NBA. We're going to nickel and dime these particular guys to death. That's what's going on partially in Houston right now with Tillman Fertitta, who's the owner of the Houston Rockets. I mean, he wanted to nickel and dime his general manager. He wanted to nickel and dime his coach. And that's one of the reasons that James Harden, just one of the reasons, but one of the reasons that James Harden wants out of Houston. So the Bucks aren't doing that. They didn't do it last year with Chris Middleton. They're not doing it right now with Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they're trying to do whatever they can to make sure that he stays here in Milwaukee. And what I was saying about the tea leaves before, we talked earlier this week when we were on with Brian Geltzeiler from NBA Radio about Bam Adebayo from Miami. His signing with the Heat, re-signing with the Heat, signals to at least a couple of teams, Miami included. We talked about the Lakers a moment ago. But it's the signal around the rest of the league that, yeah, Giannis isn't going anywhere. Giannis is going to sign the Supermax contract. And I know that his birthday is coming up in the next couple of days, and there's been some speculation that maybe that might be his birthday present to himself or the Bucks' birthday present to him, the Supermax deal. And that's what might make it fitting for him to sign the Supermax then. I don't know. I know that there's a deadline. It's December 21st. It's before the season starts, and hopefully for Bucks fans, it can get done, because the last thing that you want is to have a lame duck season for your generational superstar that you've waited 40 years to have. So I think it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but of course, we'll have full coverage of it when it does happen right here on the Doug Russell Podcast. To college basketball now. It's the annual Marquette-Wisconsin game tonight. Tip-off at Fiserv Forum is set for 6 o'clock. The Golden Eagles coming off their first loss of the year to Oklahoma State this week. So what was Coach Steve Wojciechowski's message to his young players after they fell?
Everybody's good. You know, if you look at our schedule from here on out, I mean, we play some really outstanding teams with really good players. It's a lot harder than it looks on TV. We've got to make that adjustment and grow up quick.
As for what Coach Wojo's team needs to work on for tonight,
it's going to be quite a challenge. We got to take care of the ball. You know, that's the first thing. And a lot of our turnovers are correctable. And so we have to correct that. And hopefully that will produce better and more fluid offense.
Meanwhile, for Wisconsin coach Greg Garn, it'll be a new empty atmosphere at Fiserv Forum tonight.
It really, whether there was, 18,000 in that place or nobody, it's going to be about what's done in between the lines. So it'll be how we prepare for the next couple of days, how we, we have to play well. But it's odd. I'm still trying to really figure this out. I don't know if being at home is an advantage, other maybe you're a little comfortable with the rims, the surrounding, the shooting background. But obviously, there's not the emotional boost that you'd normally get.
Again, face-off is at 6 o'clock tonight at Fiserv Forum. You can watch the game on FS1, or you can listen to it on the radio. 97.3 The Game if you're a Badgers fan, 94.5 ESPN if you're a Marquette fan. So I guess it's The Game for me. Look, I root for Marquette 364 days a year. I truly do. Today is the one day of the year that I root against them because you cut me open and I bleed Wisconsin red. Speaking of Wisconsin red, Badgers football is back at it tomorrow. It's a 2:30 kickoff at Camp Randall Stadium. The number 16 Badgers taking on the 12th ranked Indiana Hoosiers. Tomorrow's game, the second and last home contest of the season.
You know, normally you have a senior day, and it's a chance for the seniors, playing their last game at Camp Randall, and no fans allowed. And that's a big part of it, right, as much for them. But I'll tell you, I have really appreciated the way our guys have approached this and recognizing it's different, but keeping their mind and kind of focus on what's at hand and what can we do and make the most of it.
Badgers coach Paul Christ, his freshman quarterback Graham Mertz, faces a defense in Indiana that has 20 sacks and 16 picks so far this year.
We played them a couple years ago and thought they had a really good defense, and I think that they're playing with confidence right now. They've got good players, and I think what they do schematically can present some challenges. So Graham has got to do a good job of kind of playing within a rhythm and understand, but really as a whole offense we do.
Of course, the Badgers have had to stop and start a couple of times this year already. Last week's game against Minnesota had to be called because of a COVID outbreak in the Gophers program. No worries, though, for linebacker Noah Burks. It was time they still used to try to get better.
We were all still getting after it, especially on Saturday. We treated that like a true work day and really went hard with conditioning and that as well to try and get it as game-like as possible, just to make sure that everybody's staying in shape. And then I think our young guys got a lot of extra work in this week, so it was good for everybody all around.
But is it hard for the players to stay motivated?
I think just being around the guys and knowing that we are able to play every week is a motivator in itself. Coming here and then treating every game the same way and getting our prep in and honestly going out there and getting to play the game. So it does suck when the games do get canceled because that's what guys want, and especially for guys where this is going to be their last season, at least them having this opportunity to play some games is a really big thing.
As for the Badgers' opponent, Indiana, Burks just sees a different team beyond just the wins and losses.
I think a big thing with their team this year is I think their defense has really stepped up. I feel like over the past couple of years, their offense has always kind of been there. And I think that their defense has been a lot better this year. And that's something that's led to their team success and then continuing with their offensive firepower.
Kickoff from Camp Randall Stadium is set for 2:30. You can watch the game on ABC. Sunday, it's the Packers and the hapless Eagles at Lambeau Field. Last year, Philly handed Green Bay their only home loss of the season. This year, it's a tale of two teams headed in different directions. If you look at the Packers, they're 8-3. They've got a three-game lead over both the Vikings and Bears in the NFC North. The Lions bringing up the rear at 4-7. Meanwhile, as for Philadelphia, they're in the putrid NFC East, and they're 3-7-1, which sounds awful. Except for the fact that they're just a half game behind both New York and Washington in the NFC East. The Cowboys, a disastrous 3-8 so far this season, but there's a lot of bunching in that division, and there's been a lot of bad football in that division as well. As for the Packers, they're right on track to win the NFC North again, while the Eagles, again, despite only 3 wins after 12 weeks, they still have a very legitimate shot of winning the NFC East once again. As for Aaron Rodgers, he turned 37 on Wednesday. He's been around long enough to know that you can't count out your opponents before you played them.
They're a top 10 defense. They got a great front. Some guys have been playing a lot of football for a long time. I remember playing Brandon when he was a young player, and the production hasn't dropped off at all. It's incredible. He must take great care of his body, but he's also a savvy vet. Obviously Fletcher has been around for a long time, been an all-pro, fantastic player, game Wrecker.
It's how hard these guys play defensively. I mean, you have got to match their intensity. They are going to fly around. They are physical. They are going to, you know, I've always heard the saying, play the run on the way to the quarterback. I mean, they are coming off the ball and they're physical defense. They swarm. I would say they're not overly complex, but what they do is they do it really well.
Packers coach Matt LaFleur. Now, one of LaFleur's offensive weapons that he's been using more and more to try to combat opposing teams' defenses is tight end Robert Tonyan.
I think Bobby's playing with a lot of confidence right now. I think every game is its own entity in terms of schemes that you're attacking and how you're using your players. And certainly we want to do our best to put our guys in the best position to go take advantage of their skill set. So, you know, his opportunity isn't necessarily predicated on how teams are playing him. It's more or less how we're going to attack whatever defense it is that we're going against. Bobby's done an outstanding job with everything that we've asked him to do. I think he's showing more and more versatility in terms of both in the run and in the pass game and playing with some good physical toughness. And that's what we want to see out of that position.
As for this week against the Eagles, in Aaron Rodgers' way, one of the best corners in the league, Darius Slay.
One of those guys you have so much respect for, because not every great corner is gonna do star coverage. And for years and years and years, he's traveled both sides of the field in the slot with the best receiver on the other team. You know, for me, that's the ultimate respect I can give a guy when I see a guy doing that, because I love that confidence. And like I said, I have a lot of respect for him and the way that he's played in his career.
Slay's a great player. He's been doing it at a high level for a really long time now. I got a lot of respect for him, so it'll be a fun battle for sure. I'm not exactly sure what our head-to-head matchups are going to look like, how many we're going to have, but you know, just like the past, I'll be looking forward to taking advantage of each one-on-one opportunity and hopefully come out on top of the majority of those, if not all of them.
Packers wide receiver Davante Adams, who among other things loves having Alan Lazard back in the lineup to help out.
Some guys just get in there and go through the motions when it comes to doing things that they don't really necessarily want to do, but it's almost to the point where I can't even say Alan doesn't want to do some of the things that he does, because he does it at such a high level and with passion, and he's super consistent with it too. So yeah, I mean, he's a different breed, man. He can go out and make some catches, and then he can go knock out a world linebacker, and you know, you got to be built different for that.
As I mentioned a moment ago, Aaron Rodgers turned 37 this week. He knows how hard it is to be in one place for such a long period of time in the NFL.
To be a resident of the great state of Wisconsin, got to know some great people that live here. I've enjoyed all my teammates I've played with, but I've really enjoyed all the special moments here. So many of them. Like I said, I just feel really fortunate to have grown up here. A lot of great memories that I've made here that I'll take with me one day. Hopefully that day isn't too soon, but if you had told that 21-year-old you'd be still sitting there at 37, I'd be pretty happy about that, as happy as I am today to still be here.
Still here and still incredibly effective. To his credit, he's been able to have one of his most effective seasons now at the age of 37.
Putting a different focus on my legs, I think, this offseason and in the weight room, you know, I just haven't kind of lifted this way, I don't think, in a long time. You know, where I'm having PRs squatting week to week, that just doesn't happen, especially not for an older guy. Now, I don't know what, you know, the science says, but I do know what it feels like. And I know I felt a lot better with my legs underneath me. That's allowed me to play in rhythm. And that's why the accuracy has been where it's at.
This week, though, Rodgers will get a new weapon on offense. Former Rams and Cowboys wide receiver Tavon Austin, a former top 10 overall draft pick in 2013.
I was a fan of Tavon's in college. I remember watching him, just how electric he was. I think that had this offense really been going during that time, I think he really would have found a sticking spot for a long time, being a guy who can do so many things, you know, giving him fly sweeps and getting him in action stuff and getting him on the edge. So it's nice having him. You know, he's happy to be here. You know, when you can find roles for certain guys, offense, defense, special teams, and you have guys who embrace those roles, you really empower them to give more. So hopefully we can find a specific role for him and get him going as soon as possible.
Taking a look at the big picture, this stretch of the December schedule seems to benefit Matt LaFleur's team, especially when you consider that they play at home 4 times in 5 weeks.
You know, I think the guys are comfortable in their routine at home, and just the wear and tear of the travel can fatigue it. So there's definitely an added benefit, especially we embrace this type of weather at this time of the year where it's cold and hopefully a little bit windy. But I think that's definitely a benefit.
The Packers have won 5 out of their last 7 meetings against the Eagles. With Aaron Rodgers as the starting quarterback, Green Bay is 4-1 against Philadelphia. That does include the playoffs. CBS will broadcast the game to most of the country. Jim Jim Nance, Tony Romo, and Tracy Wolfson will have the call. All right, my friend Tyler Dunn, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he used to be on the Packers beat. He's got a new venture that he started. It's just getting off the ground, but this is one of the best ideas, journalistically speaking, I've seen in a long time. When I was a kid, there was nothing like reading the back feature story in Sports Illustrated, a deep dive into stories that we didn't know. Sometimes it was about people that we had heard of. Other times it wasn't about people that we had heard of. But it was always a fascinating story. We've had Tyler Dunn here on the podcast before. We had him several weeks ago. That was before he launched his now website, Go Long. I'm sure it was marinating in his mind then, but it's now live. GoLongTD.com if you want to check it out. Again, GoLongTD.com. You should check it out. I have the first several articles up there are incredible, and it just gives you a taste of what's to come. I was hosting last week nationally on Sports Map Radio, and I had the chance to have Tyler on again, and I wanted to bring you that conversation here on the Doug Russell Podcast. Tell us about Go Long. Tell us about why this long form format in the era of Twitter, 280 characters, in the era of TikTok, is something that I think we've desperately needed for a long time.
Hey, I appreciate that. That's really the thinking behind this. I just feel like, you know, in sports media today, 2020, you see the trend, right? I mean, it's wherever you kind of look, everything is kind of going that direction, you know? Everything's kind of bundled into 140 characters, into a GIF, into a meme, into a take, into a quip, and next thing you know, a lot of folks end up wasting all day just kind of scrolling through a timeline when I just really feel like, you know, the reader, the fan deserve to know the full story, to read a full-length story on their favorite player, on their favorite team, the story behind the story, to answer that burning question that's been on your mind. And, you know, it might kind of seem old school at this point, but I think that there really are a lot of people out there who do want to go beyond that tweet, you know, when they're consuming content. So love Substack, love the concept of newsletters, subscribe to some myself. And, you know, Substack's whole thing is just really wanting people to kind of take their brains back and be in control of the information that flows into their brain. And for those people out there who just want to, like, you know, learn about the sport and spend quality time, you know, just subscribe to a newsletter, a publication here at Go Long. I think that we can kind of scratch that itch. I think, you know, the experience that I have covering the Packers, the Bills, 5 years at Bleacher Report, having a lot of relationships around the NFL, just kind of made it the perfect time to take this plunge, bet on myself, and do my best to consistently tell great stories, profiles, provide Q&As. We'll have a podcast as well. So long story short, man, I just could not be more jacked up about the opportunities ahead. That's for sure.
And I love the first story that you write about and how much it could have changed really the face of the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, closer than anyone realizes to drafting Patrick Mahomes. He almost wasn't a Kansas City Chief. Tell us about that.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. I being on the Bills beat, working at the Buffalo News, developed some relationships there, and over time had spoken to Doug Whaley, to Jim Onis, just about what kind of went down in that draft. Because if you can remember, I mean, they were let go the day after that draft, and Sean McDermott kind of seized full control. So, yeah, you kind of wonder what's going on there. And one conversation kind of led to another, and lo and behold, the owner of the Buffalo Bills, Terry Pegula, wanted Patrick Mahomes really, really, really bad. He fell in love with this guy at Tech. As early as October of 2016, I mean, at that point, if you go back and look, no, he was on nobody's radar. Even into the combine, after that season was over, I think McShay, Kuiper, Mayock, they had him as like the fourth quarterback. I mean, he wasn't really in the conversation, even with DeShone Kizer. So with that, through it all, the owner of the team loves him, is trying to get the GM on board, the assistant GM on board, all the scouts. He's saying, look at this, replay here. He's taking notes. I mean, he isn't the one person on the face of the earth that's in love with this guy and believes that what he does at the college level, he'll be able to do in the NFL. You get into the offseason. Sean McDermott is handed control of the roster. He wins final say. He really couldn't get on board with drafting a quarterback that early. I think Monis and Whaley, you know, they basically told Terry, you know, you're the owner. Like, you do what you want. But we do think, you know, we should take this trade from Kansas City, move down, pick up a first for next year, a ton of quarterbacks available then, and we'll probably still get Mahomes at 27. And McDermott absolutely didn't want to take a quarterback early because he wanted to win in his first year. So I think it said a lot about Terry Pegula that, A, he identified the talent of a Patrick Mahomes, but B, you know, he didn't intrude. He didn't meddle like an Al Davis or a Jerry Jones or a, you know, Jimmy Haslam. You know, I guess there's examples over the years. You know, you hear things here and there. He wanted Sean McDermott to kind of build his program up the way he wanted to build it. And it has worked out in a lot of ways, right? I mean, here they are. They're 7-3. They're a legit contender with a good quarterback, maybe a great quarterback in Josh Allen. But at the end of the day, man, you could have had Patrick Mahomes, and it's got to sting. It's got to hurt in Buffalo. I think that our first story, I mean, the reaction was overwhelmingly positive from a lot of Buffalo Bills fans, but there was definitely a lot of sting, like, oh, my God, our owner loved him, and we did not draft him. This hurts.
Longtime NFL writer Tyler Dunn, now of GoLongTD.com, joining us here on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line on Sports Map Radio. You've covered the NFL for a long time, Tyler. Can you put your finger on why some guys, like whether it's Patrick Mahomes, whom we've been talking about, or, you know, if you want to go all the way back to Joe Montana, a third-round draft pick, or Tom Brady famously taken 199th overall in the sixth round by New England. How do you explain how these guys get to the NFL and become generational superstars when they went completely, like Mahomes did, as we were just talking about, completely under the radar at draft time?
I guess the first thought that kind of pops in my head, just having done some features on Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and never speaking to them directly, you know, it can be tough to get to these guys, but just talking to as many people as you can around them, whether it's childhood friends, family members, coaches, all of that, you know, there are a lot of parallels, at least I've seen between Brady and Mahomes, where it's like, you know, neither one of them were these quarterback camp robots, you know what I mean? Like one sport athletes where it's football 24/7, 365, the Todd Marinovich father just pushing them to be the greatest of all time. It was the exact opposite. I mean, they played other sports. Both Brady and Mahomes were baseball guys. They were both insanely competitive in everything they did. I mean, I was talking to some of Patrick Mahomes' buddies. I mean, they went to a hatchet and hops place, you know, you drink beer and throw hatchets, and there's the legendary stories of his competitiveness in a setting like that, you know. But just insane athletes across the board. I mean, Patrick Mahomes can pick up a golf club and just, you know, whack it as good as a PGA guy here and there. So I just think, playing other sports, getting involved in other things. It was just very, very good for both of just the sports psychology of it all and just using different muscles as well. I think there's definitely something to that. And you know what's wild is, you know, we picture that combine shot of Tom Brady, and he's just unathletic. He does not look like a professional athlete. Patrick Mahomes, like, his college teammates used to make fun of him all the time for being fat, for being chubby. I mean, you look at him, and it's just like, this is possibly the greatest quarterback ever. So I guess you don't need to, like, live in the weight room either. But I don't know, man. It's a tough question to answer. I think it's just there's something innate. There's some kind of competitive drive in them both that nobody else has, and that more than any specific, you know, quarterback quality that's in them probably is the difference.
Tyler Dunn joining us here on Sports Map Radio via the Progressive Insurance guest line. Matt Patricia fired earlier today, to no one's surprise. Already Dan Quinn, Bill O'Brien, they've been fired as well. I guess I know they're both early in their tenures with their respective teams. Adam Gase in his second year, Mike McCarthy in his first year in New York and Dallas, respectively. Who gets fired first? And, man, how have things gotten so bad in both of those places?
Yeah, it has gotten really, really bad. And I get it. You know, Dak Prescott goes down. Maybe optimism goes down with him. But you still have a lot of talent there in Dallas. I mean, they kind of prepared for that by bringing on Andy Dalton, a quarterback who's made the playoffs, has had a very successful career. And you got Zeke Elliott, you got Tony Pollard, you got CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, a good offensive line. There's a lot to work with. I just think in terms of Dallas, that's probably the more disappointing because, you know, you knew the Jets roster was kind of shot and things could, you know, nosedive south there pretty fast. But in Dallas with that talent, even without Dak, I think it's a really an indictment of the coaching staff. I mean, it's as we've talked about ourselves, Doug. I mean, Mike McCarthy, yeah, he won a Super Bowl. There was a lot of good there early on in his tenure. But the more you talk to folks around Green Bay, the more they say he just kind of became a little distant, took a step back, trying to take on more of a CEO-like approach and empower his assistants when, you know, maybe he should have been a little bit more involved. I mean, if you are an offensive coach who is really good at scheming things up, I mean, he should be more involved than he was there at the end in Green Bay. And, oh, by the way, his own quarterback didn't necessarily think that what Mike McCarthy was calling was any good because he was changing plays all the time and freelancing. And in Aaron Rodgers' defense there, maybe he was right. Maybe he had to do it because the scheme was so antiquated. You drop that into Dallas with all that talent, and you see what you see. It's just a mess. And I don't think he's going to get fired because – I mean, Jerry Jones stuck with Jason Garrett for over a decade. And, you know, for all the pressure there seems to be in Dallas, he kind of likes having a coach he can control, I think. And McCarthy is that kind of coach. And I think that he'll go into next season with Dak Prescott. And if it's the same story then, maybe Jerry Jones will have no choice but to move on because it is ugly. I mean, you're wasting a lot of talent there in Dallas.
The last thing that I want to ask you about is another thing that you wrote about at golongtd.com, and that's a coach that was on the hot seat, or at least we thought that he was on the hot seat, and maybe he still is, I don't know, in Minnesota, and that's Mike Zimmer. And during the week that the Packers were playing the Vikings, Aaron Rodgers defended Mike Zimmer and said, he's one of the best coaches in the NFL. I think that was maybe a little bit hyperbolic. But still, what is the long-term future of Zimmer in Minnesota? Because the Vikings have had another disappointing season.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings, they really tried to convince themselves that they're contenders in the offseason. There's a lot of panic in the spring. I think they thought Kirk Cousins would just take, you know, their offer, and that would be that, and he didn't initially. And they're like, oh, my God, you know, we've got $84 million guaranteed sunk into this guy who is basically the same guy he's been his whole career. And all these guys to pay on defense, and Dalvin Cook coming down the line, and Stephon Diggs is unhappy. And they were able to kind of cobble a competitive roster together through it all. And they reached an agreement with Cousins, and they were able to ink that deal with Cook and able to get Justin Jefferson out of that Diggs trade. But I think they were just kidding themselves. I think that losing everybody they did on defense and Kirk Cousins being Kirk Cousins, it just leaves you in this spot of being 4-6. I mean, they are a 500 team, which is the worst place to be. I think that you could have thought like the Jacksonville Jaguars and just got rid of everybody you can and completely tear it down to build it back up. But I think there in Minnesota, ownership does like the fact that they've got a pretty good defensive mind in Mike Zimmer, a pretty good GM in Rick Spielman, who never seems to get quarterback right, and pretty good quarterback in Kirk Cousins, and a very good running back in Dalvin Cook. And I guess if you're trying to, like, just be competitive and in the hunt, that's a good thing. But, yeah, I they'd have to start over at some point. The more you learn about the situation there and how hard Mike Zimmer is to deal with, I mean, there's several assistant coaches and several former players that he really rubbed the wrong way. Conducting yourself that way, it only works if you win, you know, at some point. You got to move on. And I don't know if they're at that breaking point yet. I think if the wheels come off this final month of the season and they, you know, win one more game, you know, maybe the Vikings have no choice, but they want it to work. Ownership does really, really bad. They want this to be a Pittsburgh Steelers, New York Giants type of franchise that very rarely ever changes coaches and GMs. That's their hope, but it might get to a point where they have no choice but to start over because it's just the same kind of story again and again, just kind of stuck in that middle ground.
Tyler Dunn, you can check him out. His new website is golongtd.com, long-form NFL storytelling by one of the very best that does it. You can also follow him on Twitter, at Ty Dunn, T-Y-D-U-N-N-E. Tyler, appreciate the time. Good luck with the new website. You've got great stuff. You're coming out of the gates blazing, and we'll look forward to reading your great stuff from here on out.
Thanks so much, Doug. And I got to say, like, everybody's been just fantastic. The support's been overwhelming, and I would love it if folks out there wanted to give us a shot. I think they'll enjoy what we got in store for sure.
My friend Tyler Dunn, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you can find his website, golongtd.com. You need to check it out. It's great storytelling. And again, in the age of Twitter and TikTok, I think it's something that is desperately needed. That was my conversation with him on Sports Map Radio Network last week. I will be on again tonight, assuming that you're listening to this on Friday. If you've listened to it on Saturday, well, I don't know what to tell you. But on Friday night, December 4th, so for me, as I record this tonight, you can hear me tonight nationally on Sports Map Radio from 7 until 9 Central Time. Again, we do have some affiliates here in Wisconsin. I think our biggest affiliate that I think is carrying the game tonight is The Game in Appleton, but you can also listen for free online at sportsmapradio.com or on the Sports Map Radio app. Again, 7 until 9 Central Time tonight. You can find us here on the podcast if you can't listen tonight on Sports Map Radio. Very easy to find us. Our website, www.dougrussellpod.com. Otherwise, our social media is always open to you as well, at Doug Russell Pod on Instagram and Twitter. You can search for the Doug Russell Podcast on Facebook and YouTube, or email the show at DougRussellPod@gmail.com. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.